issues, stories, and headlines in Guelph Griffin Athletics. Have a great weekend. I'm telling you, the girls are playing at home this weekend. Go out and enjoy a university sporting event or a hockey game. It's great hockey. It's a great product. And thanks for listening.
Listening to CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph.
We was in the back of the joint cooling out, and I saw this girl, asked her, is she like it like that? Not a head, yes, therefore I didn't stress, let my beat keep knocking, cause we rocking like that. What's your answer?
It's not long from now, not as long as it seems, in a place perhaps you've heard in your dreams. It's the CFRU fundraising drive, the place that keeps local culture alive. It's not ghostly spirits that keep us on air. It's listeners like you and people that care.
The CFRU fundraising drive, October 23rd to the 31st. Show your support to local programming. Stay posted for details of the many ghoulish events to come. It is not a trick, it's a treat.
Freak Scene is named after this song by Dinosaur Jr., which probably more than anything gives you a good idea of what you're going to hear. Plenty of hard-hitting alternative. Not to be limited to just that, though, you'll hear everything that rocks. Things might even get mellow every once in a while. You just never know. Check it out Monday nights from 8 to 10 here on CFRU.
Action Read Community Literacy Center is looking for new volunteer tutors. 4 out of 10 people aged 16 to 65 struggle with reading, writing, math, and other essential skills. Many adults here in Guelph are looking for support in reading job postings, calculating budgets, applying for benefits, and participating in community life. Action Read tutors are trained to help adults work from their current skills to reach their goals in work, learning, and life. If you can spare a couple of hours a week for the next year, you can make a big difference working one-on-one with an adult learner. Action Read has a terrific suite of tools and resources and a wealth of experience to help new tutors develop their skills teaching math, reading, writing, and computer basics. For more information or to volunteer, call 519-836-2759. That's 519-836-2759. Or visit us online at actionread.com.
Turkish hosts, and although Turkey is concerned about the huge imbalance of their mutual trade in China's favour, it masks those concerns behind a bold declaration that they would boost that trade eightfold to $100 billion over the next 10 years. Just how realistic that is may be less important than the fact that both China and Turkey want to show the world that they enjoy a growing harmony of interests.
World News from the BBC. The Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas is due to speak at a meeting of Arab foreign ministers taking place in the Libyan coastal city of Sirte. Mr. Abbas is expected to seek Arab support for ending peace talks with Israel due to its refusal to freeze Jewish settlement construction in the occupied West Bank. New employment figures have been released in the United States, the last before important midterm elections next month. They show that the number of private sector jobs went up slightly in September by 64,000, but total government employment fell and the unemployment rate remained unchanged at 9.6%. The Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban has played down the threat of widespread pollution to the River Danube following the spill of a large amount of toxic red sludge from an industrial plant. Mr. Orban said the situation had been brought under control. But Nick Thorpe, reporting from the affected area, says the danger is far from over.
The news from the Danube is encouraging. pH levels have begun to fall in the river at Komárom, just downstream from the point where a major tributary enters. But here in the immediate disaster area, the mood is gloomier. A fifth person has died in hospital as a result of burns sustained when the toxic mud first engulfed this area 4 days ago. Three other elderly people are still missing. And a new danger has emerged. As hot, sunny weather continues, the red sludge which pervades this area is turning to dust, containing heavy metals.
Nick Thorpe reporting. And finally, the police in Spain have detained 57 people in a nationwide operation against child pornography websites. Another 47 were charged with possessing and distributing sexual images of children. Detectives said some of those accused were local police or business leaders. The operation involved nearly 100 raids across Spain and the analysis of thousands of internet connections. BBC News.
We have heard the news from the BBC. Now it's your turn. Call country code 44 20 70 83 72 72. Welcome to World Have Your Say.
Hello, I'm Nuala McGovern. Thanks for tuning in today. Well, by now you've probably heard the name Liao Xiaobo. He's a Chinese jail dissident, and yes, he's the recipient of this year's Nobel Peace Prize. Since the announcement, there's been passionate debate on whether he's the right choice. Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesman doesn't think so. Here's what he had to say. Liao Xiaobo is a convicted criminal sentenced to jail by Chinese justice. His acts are in complete contradiction to the purpose of the Nobel Peace Prize. But a completely different response from Adu. He was posting on ChinaGeeks.org. Here's what he said. Seething with excitement. Everywhere is seething with excitement. So what do you think of the decision? Angry or excited? We'd love to hear from you.
Email us at worldhaveyoursay@bbc.com. The blog address is worldhaveyoursay.com.
So you've a lot of guests that want to talk to you about the issue today, whether they have picked the right person for the 2010 Nobel Peace Prize. We have Charles Chow. He's joining us in Hampshire in the UK. We also have Sharon Hom. She's in New York. She's the Executive Director of Human Rights in China, based in New York. I also have Sarong Chen, the BBC China editor. He's in studio with me here for the hour. So Charles, Sharon, let's start with you. Charles, was this the right decision?
Hello, this is Charles, actually. I'm from Southampton. I think the prize, you know, Nobel Prize Committee has, you know, made their decisions. That's their money, that's their decision, really. It's not much for any other people to jump in for anything else. But on the whole, I don't think, actually, they mentioned, you know, the Elizabeth possibly, as they say, you know, do a lot of work on the you know, human rights issues, etc., and peacefully, non-violently, etc. But if that is, you know, reward to peace, for the world peace, the theme does not sound right. We are not actually, you know, even citation never mentioned how much contribution, you know, is made towards
so
the world.
So you think
peace.
He's not making enough of a contribution to peace? Sharon, I'm going to get you to respond to Charles.
Yes, well, I think the fundamental concept of the Nobel Peace Prize is a fundamental recognition that that human rights and peace and freedom of expression are all linked. And what Liu Xiaobo has done for more than 20 years has been to work for and to press for in a peaceful way social change. If China does not have greater democracy and openness, there really won't be a possibility for peace in the region and, frankly, in the world.
I think a lot of things here is so simplified in such actually, you know, oversimplified manner to voice so many big issues. China is not, as you know, as you say, a democratic country as we know it, you know, like UK, like US, etc. But we have to say the country is different from others. It has a long history of non-democracy. And has such a large number of population. If you apply what we call a democracy to China, and then there is some unknown factors, because you know a lot of things have been lost during translation. Now, democracy means free speech. Free speech in Chinese could be anything. Could it be a libel? Could it be attack?
So Charles, we have another couple of people that want to join in. We had China. We had Peter, who actually wrote on our Facebook page from China, and he said, agreeing with you, rash actions would only provoke reactionary responses from the Chinese government. Foreign influences are perceived by the Chinese people as an incursion upon their sovereignty. And we actually have Eric in Beijing. Eric, thank you so much for waiting so patiently. I know it's late there to join us. We're delighted that you did. We've been inundated with people emailing the BBC, generally positive, I have to say, but a lot of other people who are in China who did not feel comfortable coming on and speaking to us. Eric, on our TV edition, which we had earlier today, Roz was hosting on BBC World. Eric, what's your position? Do you think this was the right decision?
I'm not very clear whether it's the right choice or not. But my feel is that the Chinese people's national sense of pride is being hurt by the Nobel Peace Committee. As I know, the Nobel Peace Prize Committee always send the prizes to those that are not welcomed in China, such as Mr. Liu Xiaobo, Mr. Gao Xingjian, or Dalai Lama. Those are all not welcomed in China. And I think the committee tries to set themselves against the Chinese government. Anything the Chinese government do seems to be the wrong thing. I think Chinese people may feel that they are being bullied.
So what about that, Sharon? Do you think people might feel like they're being bullied?
I think Eric's view is pretty much the view that one hears a great deal of, the kind of nationalistic, with all due respect, line. Unfortunately, you know, what's happening, you know, with the Liu Xiaobo cases, I don't know if it's the right or the wrong decision. It's certainly a powerful decision, and it sends a powerful message at this point when even Chinese senior leaders have now publicly been speaking out quite recently, saying that China's only road, sustainable road forward, is for democratic reforms. And that's from China's own senior leaders inside. And I think that more than 10,000 Chinese have signed Charter 08, and they were Chinese.
Can you just explain Charter 08 for one moment, Sharon? Just if you could explain it.
Yes, Charter 08 was an online call for democratic reforms with specific proposals for discussion. You don't have to argue about whether it's right or wrong, but they certainly could put it forth. And more than 10,000 people signed it at the end of 2008, had garnered more than 10,000.
But is that a lot of people when we're talking about China?
Well, I think it's whether it's a lot of people or not, you have three Chinese people speaking online now. And for rights and democracy, these people's voices can't simply be erased by saying that the Chinese don't welcome this. I think it's a point now where we have to recognize that there are many Chinese voices. And the issue is not who is right. The issue is whether those Chinese voices have a right to simply publish an opinion without serving 11 years.
Can I just jump in?
Go ahead and respond, and then we're going to bring in Sarong Chen. Go ahead.
At this point, I feel like a lot of things, we have to put some kind of perspective. Democracy is not against by Chinese. This is, I don't know where this is getting, but democracy as we know it needs a kind of time to get through. Don't forget that China has got a long history of non-democracy, you see, for many.
But Charles, what about this as being a catalyst for that sort of change? Is this something that could actually make it happen?
That's a very good point, actually. What's the best way we have to actually figure out, what's the best way to achieve it? Certainly it's not the violence from the outside. It's not the pressure from the outside. It's something, I'll tell you what, Nobel Prize mean a lot of things to me. When I, in my childhood, Nobel Prize, it's all my life. I just put all these people who have achieved Nobel Prize as my ultimate goal of the whole life. That's what the Chinese people think of that. Now what they are saying, if, they are lucky or if they open, they're saying that, well, hang on a minute. This is not for the peace. It's completely for the different purpose. Frankly, it's just undermine their national security. Now, if the people and nation do not feel comfortable with their security, how can you convince them? Come on, they've done this road, to the things. So you know, need to think about it. All things democracy will get in there.
So, Charles, I just want to let people know, if they're just tuning in, that they're listening to World Have Your Say, and we're discussing, of course, big news today, the Nobel Peace Prize, and it went to Liu Xiaobo.
Can I jump in on Charles?
Sharon, I would love to in one second,
jump
but
in
I do.
On Charles? I think that Charles is talking about democracy in a way that's very, it is a view. And it's also true that there's a tremendous amount of discussion. But it's not only just democracy. We can't forget that, in fact, China, for the last 30 years, has agreed as a country to abide by international standards. And those international standards include freedom of information, the right of freedom of expression, the right to belief, the right to all these issues. And it's also in the Chinese constitution.
Can I just butt in on this freedom?
Right to freedom of expression.
Yeah, okay.
So
can I just butt in for this
standard,
issue?
And it's in Chinese law. So the real question
so
is...
I'm going to interrupt both of you for a moment, Charles and Sharon. I'm going to interrupt both of you because we have an awful lot of people around this virtual table that want to get in on the conversation. I want to thank Eric in Beijing for staying up so late, and we'll talk to you again. Eric, a lot of people getting in touch on tweet. We have Wee Daddy in Boston who says, yes, the Nobel Committee got it right this time. Philip on Facebook says, unlike last year, the winner this year deserves it. And CJester27 in Indiana tweets, great choice for the Nobel Peace Prize this morning. They're all on the same side. Maybe you are not, so get in touch at worldhaveyoursay.com or give us a call. That's country code +44 20 70 83 72 72. Sarang Chan, you've been listening to a lot of comment here so far. I have a couple of questions for you. One, why do you think people are uncomfortable getting in touch with us to express their reaction or coming on and expressing their reaction? And anything else you'd like to pick up on what you heard?
The easiest question for me.
Just one second, Charles. It's for Sharong Chen, our China editor.
Charles, I understand everything takes time, especially for a big country like China. And I also understand Eric's view that some Chinese may feel this is a slight on the pride of the Chinese people. To be fair, the living standard and certain rights have been improved in the past 30 years as China develops economically. But there is a divide when you talk about the reaction from the Chinese general public. For the younger generation, they may not be familiar with the fight for democracy and freedom because they think they enjoy every freedom from the internet, whatever they want to post there or chat and so on. But remember, China is a huge country. We have wells along the eastern coast, but we have still so many millions of people still struggling below the poverty line, even by Chinese standard. And many people losing their land, and many people just got...
I saw a figure of 25% to 30% below the poverty line, if that's correct.
Oh, by the UN standard, yes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a long way to go. Of course, there's a discussion inside China about, you know, how do you talk, when you talk about human rights, what sort of rights do you mean? Is it universal and so on? That would be a long, long discussion. But so far as I can see, yes, there is improvement in certain rights. There is a huge display of wealth and freedom of movement, freedom of wherever you want to work in that sense. I mean, that's a huge jump. But when you compare with the universal human rights that China has signed up to...
In 1948.
Horizontally with other countries... Even Chinese leaders acknowledge there's a long way to go. Of course, when we talk about encouraging the, awarding the award to Liu Xiaobo and encouraging China as a whole to move along that path, it doesn't mean that everybody is telling China what to do or how to do it.
I want to bring in... go ahead, Charles, and then I'm going to bring in
I just pick up the point that it's a freedom of a speech. You know, actually, this sounded very good, freedom of speech, but freedom of a speech, has got a lot of other things to go with it.
Well, Charles, are you surprised that some people were too frightened to actually come on our TV program today to voice dissent?
This is obviously it's not a very good sign. They have got something to fear, but just like anywhere else. You know, if you invite somebody else, they may say, well, look, you know, here, you remember we have got the a deputy, school teacher, head teacher actually, made a speech in, you know, the total conferences, and then as soon as she got home, her friend was suspended, you see. So you guys got a lot of, you know, worry to about. Now, I just go back to the freedom of speech. This is actually being used or widely misused as a wide card of, say, freedom of speech. Now, we do not actually in this planet have absolute freedom of speech. It distinguishes from the libel, from the verbal attack, verbal abuse, etc., etc. It's the whole basket of things go with it. So we, you know, if you apply...
I hear what you're saying, Charles, that you think there's different levels of freedom of speech.
Absolutely.
Let's come back to that in a moment. I want to bring in a couple of people. I want to bring in Xiao Jing. He is a former lecturer and a friend of Liao Xiaobo, and also Jean-Philippe Beja, another friend. So... Chao and Jean-Philippe, welcome to the programme. Let me start with you, Chao. What was your reaction today?
It's very encouraged by this Nobel Prize community that gave the Liu Xiaobo this prize. And also I think it's very encouraged the other human rights defender in China, because it gave very simplified, very clear information to Chinese society. We have shown same human rights standard. And also they gave the very important information to Chinese government. The Chinese government used violence and used the censorship and control the people's think, control the information and crack down any civil rights. That's totally wrong. So this very important things for encourage Chinese people fight for their freedom, their human right. They are only one human right. It's not one other standard. It's human rights. It means
so
the people have to live. Yeah.
I want to throw that to Jean-Philippe. I mean, you're another friend. Do you think this is going to make a difference? Do you think it's going to encourage more people in, within China to speak up?
Well, I think it's quite important, yes, because Charter 08, after all, has already been signed by 10,000 people who were not afraid to come out and to sign it after Liu Xiaobo had been arrested. There are many people in China now fighting for their rights, all sorts of rights. You have peasants fighting because they have been expelled from their land. You have people who, urban residents who have been expelled from their houses, who try to defend their rights. And how do they defend their rights? By abiding by the Constitution. What they do usually is search for lawyers and journalists who talk for them. And Liu Xiaobo is one of these persons who give echo to the discontented. And I wanted to tell Charles that there are two things. First of all, the idea of democracy is not China. It came when and the Communist Party is also inheriting this idea of democracy. The other thing is the Chinese Constitution, Article 35, recognizes.
Sorry, Jean-Philippe, I'm afraid your line was going in and out a little bit there. We'll just try and clear it up. I think it's a Skype line. We'll get that sorted. But I want to read a couple of comments that are coming in. Moses on Facebook says, as usually, China will get upset, but later on will go on as normal. Trust me, these guys are conservative. They will not change anything. Abid in Bangladesh texted us. He says, the Nobel Prize always champions Western causes and ideas, which has been proven once again. Maybe you'd like to text us. The number is country code +44 77 86 20 60 80. We're asking whether the Nobel Prize Committee did the right thing today when they awarded the prize to Liao Xiaobo. I have Sorong Chen is here in studio with me. We also have Sharon Hom in New York and Charles Chow is in Hampshire. And you were just hearing from two friends of Liao Xiaobo, in Jean-Philippe, who we're going to try and get his lineup, and also Chow, who is here in the UK. Sorong, would you like to pick up on any of the points that you've heard so far?
Yeah, I think there is a kind of a confusion of ideas, like what is democracy or what is a freedom? Is it all that if people can move from one province to work in another province, is that it? I think currently in China, by awarding the Nobel Peace Prize to Liu Xiaobo, as the committee said in the citation, it shows that China as a powerful country economically should be able to take more responsibility. In that sense, it is a push, it's a nudge for the Chinese government to do more. And it is also a way to show, correct me if I'm wrong, that China, as it is so important, getting so powerful, whatever it does would affect other people in other countries too.
Yeah, can I just back in this point? As you said, you know, I heard the comments is a good point. I think we need to be slightly careful. Sometimes, you know, really, score their own goal, really. The progress or whatever issues the people are talking about, you can't actually get by without the Chinese agreement. If the Chinese authority consider the things necessary in their interests, I'm sure we have got a lot of actually possibility to convince them to do that way. They don't like, you know, being told, say, you do this, do that. What you've done is wrong. Now, don't forget the basic fact of this world. We have got a democracy system, so we have got, you know, the American style of democracy, but it's not absolute. Don't actually.
But Charles, as you were saying, I mean, are you worried that it's a too provocative a move?
It's not necessarily too provocative. It's a lack of sensitivity. That's what the
lack of sensitivity, Sharon. What do you think about that?
I think that's a standard line, that any disagreement or any decision or any stance or any view that the Chinese authorities don't like is accused of being lack of insensitive to this monolithic something. But it is important that it was with respect to your question, though, the specific question, whether this is a right decision or not a right decision. Of course, no one, you know, we're not the Nobel Peace Prize Committee. But certainly one could also say that the response, that the official Chinese response to the decision is not the right decision, is not a right response. It's just not seemly for a world power as powerful with such a long history, as been said, and such a tremendous culture, to respond to an international independent committee's decision that you disagree with.
So in your opinion, what they should say, how they should respond then?
Threat. I think that threatening is not a good response. I think threatening retaliatory actions against the government and Norway-China relations is just unseemly and it's not appropriate. I think it's fine wishes to say they disagree, but to threaten the relationship between the bilateral of two sovereign governments because they disagree with the decision.
What
did
they say that would harm the relations?
It's just inappropriate. It's just... Yeah, it's inappropriate. It's inappropriate to harm the relations.
Yeah.
But Sharon, do you think it could be counterproductive in the long run? I mean, that's what some people are getting in touch with us, saying
counterproductive? What is counterproductive? Because one can never predict the future. But what has been counterproductive for Chinese people is that the international community has stood by silently and been cowered by the threats or the assertion of very enormous economic and also soft power. So I think that
this is very strong words.
Is a very important is that at this point is that there needs to be a counterbalance, that it's important to stand for principles. It's not really such a theoretical debate. I think when someone publishes peacefully just a view, and these six articles are published on websites that are blocked in China, and that person becomes indicted and serve 11 years in prison for that, I think we can all agree that that probably is a violation of human rights and a violation of freedom of expression, and that it probably does not constitute incitement to subvert state power.
Sharon, I'm going to hop in there, and Charles, I'm going to let you respond just after the news. We're going to continue talking about Liao Xiaobo. Sharon Hom joined us from New York. She's the Executive Director of Human Rights in China. She is happy with today's announcement. But are you? If you'd like to get in touch, you can go to worldhaveyoursay.com. You can post your comment there or email us worldhaveyoursay@bbc.com. Lots more coming up after the news.
There's more information about our forthcoming programme highlights on our website. To really whet your appetite, just pop along to bbcworldservice.com and click Coming Soon.